And another area that will be affected by blockchain is Wall Street and investing. It's something that big banks are adopting now, but at a bit of a slower pace. But now many of the big banks are using it in some degree. Brad Bailey is Research Director for Capital Markets at Celent, and he joins us here at our table here at the Blockchain Opportunity Summit in New York City. Nice to meet you.
Good morning, Don. How are you?
Thank you. Great to have you. Why is it, do you think, that it has taken Wall Street and big banks to this point to start to consider blockchain as something that is almost a necessity now?
That's a great question. So I think there's a few factors. In certain respect, in my area, in the capital markets, since the great crisis of 08, 09, we're kind of in a word, like what Charles Dickens would say, the best of time and the worst of time. And the worst of time, it's been a very difficult time for the banks from a regulatory perspective, from a capital perspective. And the best of time is we are in a time where I've never seen such openness to new models, digital models, of which blockchain is part of that. So it really comes in at a time where it's solving core problems for a lot of the large banks, the investment banks, and other types of banks as well.
And as you mentioned, this is a time where the banks are under more regulatory scrutiny than ever before. It's a time where they have to dot the I's and cross the T's in a more fine fashion than they ever have had to do before.
Absolutely. It's always been a very heavy regulated industry. In fact, in Wall Street, generally, until some regulator changes something, things are slow to change. Right. Now, one thing to keep in mind, regardless of what happens in a discussion with Trump, regulatory rollback, and all that, it's been a period of great regulation. Some of that is good regulation, right, and some of that is regulation that is just causing a lot of wasted effort, and it'd be great to see the banks loaning more money, right, putting capital to work to grow for growth equity. So, if blockchain is that solution that can help in that, that's fantastic.
From what I am reading, the banks are using it at least right now more so on an internal basis within their processes that go on within each company, and maybe they're starting to dip their toe into the water of using it between banks at this
Absolutely.
Point. Correct.
Absolutely. So let's just set the stage a little bit, Don. Is we are very much in the beginning of this. And I think that banks are seeing what this potentially could do. But we really, need to test this. For this to work, banks take a long time to change. And what's interesting is to see what will happen around the banks with innovators and fintech companies and blockchain. At the same time, the banks recognize that they can come up with much more efficient processes. One more point. One, it was interesting to see, at the time when the banks pre-crisis, a lot of times new businesses would come up and they would just do that in not the most efficient way. So you have a legacy architecture that is, it's like going through an architectural dig where each layer of technology, you go back 50 years
right.
in technology that's still in place and still working.
So if the banks are just using this now and they are at the beginning point of the process, then when do we see the connection to the consumer? Because as we mentioned earlier on this show, Bitcoin is something that just, it hasn't really grabbed on to the attention of a lot of people right now.
Okay.
So where does that relationship between the banks and their customers, when does that come about?
Absolutely. And that's a great question. And I think what we've seen and what we've seen in my perspective of capital markets is a reaction to what's happened in retail banking. Fintech and new models, alternative business models, digital models have taken off in retail banking.
Right.
Just think about your iPhone or your Android, how I no longer go to the bank. I use my Bank of America app
yeah.
to do whatever I like with my checking. And of course, there's other banks doing similar things. But I think the more touch points there are with a consumer, the B2C part of it has been much more rapid in taking in fintech and new models.
Right.
So now, to your question about the Bitcoin, we're kind of, I don't want to simplify, but we are at a fork in a road. And as I said, we're at the beginning of this technology. There's Bitcoin, the Bitcoin blockchain, which is truly the one battle-tested blockchain.
Okay.
It has worked. It has never been hacked. There's been failures around the Bitcoin blockchain, but it has worked. The other side of it are people seeing wow, we could take this infrastructure of the Bitcoin and do something amazing with other assets on top. Right. And that's what the banks are focusing on. For the consumer in the U.S., Bitcoin is more of a gold. It's like gold. Gold is, many people say, the one true currency.
Yeah.
And Bitcoin is more like gold here. Now, if you go to China and other nations, they're using that, there's a velocity to that money. However, for most people buying Bitcoin here, they're looking at it as an investment. It's going to go from, you know, it peaked at $1,300.
Yeah.
It went down after that to $200, and now it's back at around $750. So people are looking at it as an investment.
What about Wall Street and trading? And using blockchain to streamline the processes that Wall Street uses every day.
Absolutely. That's where, you know, I've spent my focus. My entire career has been making front office trading and bonds and equities, stocks, more efficient. And that's where there's excitement. You could save, there's ways of saving on regulatory capital. There's ways to save on settlement charge. But really what gets everyone excited is how can you create a more capitally efficient business?
Right.
So Dan, I think that's going to be, the short term is how do we save money?
Right.
And we're going to move into how do we make a more effective product, a more effective business.
And then I mentioned with Sarav, as we started this show off today, where does the government step into this process? Because as you mentioned, there have been lots of good regulations and there have been many that have not done the job.
Right.
So you have to get past those hurdles as well.
Yeah, I think that is spot on. As I referenced my point, regulation is key in this industry, as it is in other industries. But one thing is, so in the there's different place things happening. There's countries that are leading and saying, we want to do this. But what I would say uniformly is occurring across regulators globally is they see this, they see the transparency they could have into a blockchain. If it's a private blockchain, they could be a node on that, and they could see exactly in real time these immutable data records being stored, and they can be see that. Now, if you're a bank and I'm a bank, we might only see what we need to see in that situation, but the regulator could have that audit ability. There's an implied reconciliation, implied audit with the blockchain that really has people excited.
I read a story that talked about how this is starting to play out even right now, where there was a trade of an order of cotton between the United States and China, a bank here in the U.S. and a bank in Australia that was actually handling things for China. And what was interesting to me is that basically the transaction actually occurred when the cotton reached a certain destination or a certain point in the trip, which is another interesting piece. And obviously that's all through connectivity and having sensors on the delivery as it was going over to China.
Absolutely. I mean, we live in an extremely connected world. Blockchain is a new way of connecting. Now, in that example you gave, you're seeing that's tying in IoT in new ways. A sensor says, I'm here, we pick up the GPS, and we go in. Now, I think the blockchain, in one way of thinking about it, is if we think about the internet, it opened up a new way of connection.
Right.
And in many ways, the blockchain has been called the internet of value. And you could see that as you're moving value in a way where you're solving fundamental problems. Like, you send me an email, you still have a copy of that email.
Right.
You send me a picture, you still have a copy of that picture. If you use a blockchain distributed approach, you send me a dollar, you can't still have that dollar.
Right.
I have that dollar. And that is what Bitcoin was solved. That problem was fundamentally solved, and that's where things are being driven
by. So will this then be adapted, you think, as we get more consumer versions of this with places like Amazon and eBay, where you're doing a lot of value shipping across the United States?
Absolutely. I think in Amazon has more flexibility. Amazon and other players like that are becoming centers of people's world.
Yeah.
You know, for prime users of Amazon, their entire life is there. Their data is there. Now, ways of connecting value, yes. I think, you know, the reality is, if we were to lift total, like, let's for one moment imagine a world with no regulation.
Okay.
Amazon and the Apple and Google and Facebook would be major competitive threats to banks. And I think, you know, blockchain has been, there's opportunity for the banks, and it's also a threat, because in some of the models, you have this trustless model. What does that mean? who is, you know, the banks are the true trusted party. And we, right. you know, we go back, you can go back to banking over whatever period of time in human history, but the last 500 years, we've had a certain model of banking. And that is in play. Now, how you fit that into the system that's been built will be probably the most fascinating thing to watch.
The word you used a second ago, and it's one that I've heard throughout my time here today, is trust. And it what this is doing is it's building in a level of trust which realistically can't be hacked, can't be tapped into, correct?
Well, I think, yeah, the word trust can be a little, often we say about trustless, but a trusted party, I trust my bank not to do things. They've spent right. years building fortresses for cybersecurity, for other issues. And in what the blockchain allows, it lets competitors, for instance, in a private blockchain model, banks who don't trust each other. They right. have their own views on value, their own views on clients, and it lets them work together in a way where the data okay. is correct and immutable. And likewise, whether that's on an institutional level, on a retail level, you have, you know, for people moving money around, if they are feeling secure that Bitcoin will work, they want to use it. I mean, I think, you know, you've gone through a cycle with that. And so...
Brad Bailey joins us, Research Director for Capital Markets at Celent. You're listening to Knowledge at Wharton here on Sirius XM 111, Business Radio powered by the Wharton School. Doing the analysis that you do, what are the other areas that you see being just very simple adapters of blockchain that maybe haven't gotten to that point right now?
Right. So just real quickly, my main focus is the financial services, the capital yeah. markets. So I'm looking at remapping how securities are issued and traded, right. how they're sent to the public, how bonds and derivatives, new products for that, new ways of making payments, new ways for new types of conceptions of money, in fact.
Right.
Now, but this impacts, we've seen businesses that are diamonds, you know, do you want to avoid blood diamonds? So people right. are having a data provenance. That's a key point in this. Title of real estate. Right behind me is a demo looking at the mortgage business. You are seeing there is many areas in which this will profoundly change people's interaction with other players and the world. At the same time, I want to mitigate that or mollify that statement a little bit by saying, you know, blockchain is not going to solve everything.
Right.
So, you know, you probably can still have to call your plumber to fix the sink.
but still, with the relationship, though, between the consumer and the banking sector, which obviously that relationship has been frayed, to say the least, over the last few years, yep. most recently by Wells Fargo, to be able to put a level of trust in there between the consumer and the bank, that's a step in the right direction to rebuild that relationship for the banking sector.
Yeah, what you just said is fascinating. I think, you know, clearly in the world we're in, the banks have to rebuild trust. I think this is a way of whether the banks can work with their retail through a blockchain approach that really yeah. works or disintermediates them will be interesting to see. I do think that when you see other models for what's happening in banking and delivery of banking services
right.
in other areas of fintech, like alternative lending, you've already seen that. So I think we'll over this 2017 is going to be crucial. I will say that many things probably a little bit got over their skis in certain respects, because
okay.
we're talking about remapping things that have been put in place over a long time.
Which brings me to the final point in the fact that Sarab from Verizon Wireless, who was on right before you, he mentioned that he expects this to be more in use in the next 3 to 4 years. Is that your expectation, or is even that time frame maybe a little tight?
So so if you're talking about the Bitcoin and models that evolve around that,
yeah.
that's certainly moving rapidly. Yeah. I think that what will happen in the capital markets and the financial services, we are seeing POCs, which are proof of concepts being taken place. Some of them will go into production next year.
Right.
But you know, no one, the consumer, the banks, want something that is not battle tested
right.
and truly secure. And there's no possibility of a hack. We live in a world of tremendous cleverness around cyber risk, and we have to be cognizant of that.
Great to meet you. Thank you, Brad.
Thanks, Dan.
You got it. Brad Bailey, Research Director at for Capital Markets at Celent. You're listening to Knowledge at Wharton here on SiriusXM 111, Business Radio powered by the Wharton School. We are at the Blockchain Opportunity Summit in New York City. We'll take a break and come back with more of our show in just a minute.